Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A group of strangers unite to win cash. But in order to win Undivided, GSN's new game show starting Thursday night, the group must agree on every answer, then be right, and then agree to divide their cash unequally. Multiple Emmy-nominated executive producer Jay Beanstalk joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Female entrepreneurs of color pitch for success on Queen Boss, now open for business Saturday nights on Centric. Co-executive producer Marcy Weisler heads our way later this hour. Also ahead, a bold live TV undertaking, PBS Kids Anytime, and our classic trivia question this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in on Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2017. Tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Thank you for joining us on an episode on the day that we pay homage to one of the great leaders of the world and someone who still exists as a role model for humanity, justice, inclusion, diversity for all. We're happy to have you with us for the program All About Television. We are live and with you on Blog Talk Radio, wherever you may be across the country, around the world. It's a pleasure to have you aboard. 41 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Great guests coming away in the next hour, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Raise your voice, get to the phones, and dial in on 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is in any way you're catching us across the country, around the globe, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And our chat room is already buzzing. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is in the room. We also have guests 881, 871, and 869. So get involved. Phone or chat room. Either way, we hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow those instructions, and other people can be live with you. And Jay Beanstalk from Divide on GSN joins us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Daytime television will be more bold and live this fall if MGM and Station Group Tegna have their way. The combo announced this morning they will launch Bold, a live weekday half-hour mixing information, trending social media items, and web videos. Bold stands for Broadcast Online Live Daily. Most of Tegna's 46 television stations nationwide will run Bold live, no matter what time zone, because Bold will do several live editions per day. Viewers will be invited to interact with each episode, take part in polls, and submit videos for presentation. MGM and Tegna will kick off a drive for Bold's national syndication tomorrow morning at the annual NAPI Programming Fair in Miami. NAPI continues through Thursday afternoon. We're in the middle of PBS Kids 24/7's existence, day one. The full-time channel dedicated to PBS's children's programming lineup around the clock launched this morning in 75 markets as a cable or multicast channel. Other PBS stations will set up launches either way by spring. 21 PBS series will run on the service, including Super Y, Odd Squad, Sesame Street, and Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. One big exception, Curious George, already with off-PBS flip-back rights at Hulu. A family night primetime block using extended episodes of PBS Kids favorites will start on Fridays as of April 21st. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Los Angeles, multiple Emmy-nominated executive producer of such shows as The Voice and The Apprentice, and the executive producer of Divided starting Thursday night at 9 on GSN. It's a pleasure to welcome for the first time Jay Beanstalk. Jay, happy to have you with us.
Hello, Simon. Happy to be here. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Jay. If Megan Tranter sings It's All About the Bass, your show sounds like it's all about agreement.
Well, yeah, like in life, you know, right, Simon? You know, everyone sort of has to agree to get to their end game, whether it's in life, whether it's at work, whether it's your family. And now we have a game show where people have to agree to get to the end and agree on the amount of money that they make. It is all about agreement. Yes.
This is a program that was created by John DeMaul, the creator of The Voice, also Deal or No Deal when he was with Endemol. And it's a program that originally started back the last decade in England. Why did John decide this was the time to bring it to the United States?
Well, you know, you look at what's out there in the landscape in terms of game shows. You haven't seen a lot of new game shows in a while. And Divided really is part game show, part social experiment. You know, especially in today's times, as we know in the United States and around the world, where people are very entrenched in their beliefs and their opinions. There's black and there's white and there's not a lot of gray. There's really not. And this is a game show that really sort of explores that in terms of, you know, I may not agree with you and the answer that you're giving, but maybe I'll change my mind just to, you know, to succeed in this game. And that's and because of the nature of the times and what's going on and how people can't agree all the time and whatnot, we thought that this was a pretty good time to bring out a game show just like this one.
And let's explain how it works. You have four people who have never been with each other. They are complete strangers. They get together in that studio. They are then quizzed as a group. You have to agree on the answer to get the money, rightly or wrongly. You play the game as long as you like. The dollar values, the cash that's offered, grows with the difficulty of the question. And then at any time, I believe, the players can stop the game. I'm going after what I saw in the English version. The players then can stop the game. And then comes first of all, there's a third twist, but there's two big twists when they decide to stop the game. And you explain it.
Okay. I thought you were doing great. I was going to let you keep going, but okay. That was very good. Okay, the way the American version works, and in the British version, there's actually, by the way, there's been 10 or 12 different versions that have aired globally around the world, and the U.S. is the latest in those. The British version that you're talking about, which is on YouTube, you can see versions on YouTube, what they would do is, after every round, the host would say, do you want to take the money and stop, or do you want to keep going? And it must be a unanimous decision. If they agreed, they'd keep going. If they decided to stop, they would stop, play the end game, who gets what money, and the game would be over. Now, with GSN, and we're lucky with GSN that GSN, you know, wanted to do this show with us because, you know, no one does game better than these guys. I mean, it is the truth. They understand the nature of games, and they looked at this thing and they thought, how can we sort of up the ante and make it feel more American and more in like the times that we're living in? So together we developed this thing. So here's how our version is going to work. The divided in the U.S. is going to start with four players, and in every round you'll get a series of questions. So you get a question, it's worth $5,000. You get a question, three possible answers, and then the four people have to debate amongst themselves what the correct answer is. Now, while they're debating, Simon, what's happening is the $5,000 is ticking down, tick, 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 tick. So it's going down. It's 5,000, 4,995, 4,990, so forth and so on. So there's this ticking clock. If the clock goes down to zero, they will cut their bank in half. If they get the answer wrong, they will cut their bank in half. So it's better to be right. It's better to be slow and correct than to be fast and incorrect. So that's how the game works. And along the way, they will build up their bank. So let's say it's midway through the game. Let's say there's $30,000 in their bank, so forth and so on. But now, with those four players now have to vote to decide to get rid of one of the players. So there must be a 3-to-1 vote. So they take a vote, and they get rid of somebody. Now, there's a number of ways that you can, from a strategic standpoint, get rid of somebody. You can get rid of someone who's just plain annoying. You can get rid of someone who's not contributing to the team. You can get rid of somebody that you think is so strong that you think it comes to the end game, they're going to get everything anyway, so you might as well get rid of them now. So there's many different ways to sort of skin that cat. Now they go down to three. And they keep playing the game. As you said, the questions get harder and harder. The value of the questions gets higher and higher. And now you get to the end game. So let's say for argument's sake, the end game, they've amassed $100,000 in their bank. Let's say for argument's sake it's 100 grand. That 100 grand is now divided into three unequal amounts, $60,000, $30,000, and $10,000. Now, with those amounts lined up, the host says, not the host, in our case, it's Mike Richards, who, by the way, as a shout-out to Mike, who's not just an amazing game show producer, but as a host, he's amazing because there's a lot of stuff going on out there in terms of there's a lot of gameplay and there's a lot of interaction, a lot of Q&A and so forth and so on, and he really kept control of all that, but I'm going on a tangent now, but I just think he's so amazing. So Mike says, there's $60,000, $30,000, $10,000. Amongst the three of you, you must decide who gets what share. And as they're deciding and debating as to who gets what, because everybody thinks they're worth $60,000, everyone thinks that's what they should get, as they're debating this, all three number amounts are ticking down as well. The $60,000 ticks faster, the $10,000 ticks slower. The idea being is if they can't all agree after 100 seconds, they'll all zero out at the same time. And it's amazing how people have an inflated sense of self. Everybody does. Everybody comes with a sense of, I contributed this. We see it at work. We see it at home. We see people who think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and you look at them and go, you don't do anything. But this is a game where this sort of behavior comes out in people, and then all three of them, as they're debating and discussing back and forth, the money amounts are ticking down because everybody thinks they're worth the most. And it's a poker game, Simon. Who's going to blink first? Who's going to say, you know what, I'll take the leash just to make the clock stop? And who's going to sit there and say, you know what, I don't care, either give me the most or the clock will tick to zero, I just don't care. And that's divided.
And I have a hunch that when the show premieres on Thursday night at 9:10 Eastern Pacific Time, 2 half-hour episodes, by the way, back-to-back on GSN, a lot of people just might. It is, I saw the original from England, and it is quite some show. A lot of great production values, too. We've got Jay Beanstalk. He is the multiple Emmy-nominated executive producer of Divided. And by the way, Divided is paired with Idiot Test, which starts its latest season at 10 p.m. this Thursday night. Jay is with us live from Los Angeles this half-hour on to Marvy Televised. Simon Applebaum from the other coast, New York. Glad to have you with us on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2017. If a question or comment for Jay, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, my name, Rick Webb in the room, also guest 869. Friday on Tomorrow Televised, we'll preview a show that CBS will premiere right after the NFC Championship game. It's Hunted, and it is another very interesting reality competition series. This time, it's a bunch of people who are on the run, and the people who are trying to get them are some of the most biggest experts in the world of catching fugitives. Hunted premieres, like I said, the NFC Championship game. We'll have at least one of the executive producers joining us. That's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You mentioned Mike Richards today. We've had him on. He's just one of our annual guests. He's wonderful. The executive producer, The Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal. Second game show with GSN. He did the Pyramid several years ago. Did a wonderful job with that. He is a great shout-out to him. He's always a wonderful guest. A pleasure to have him on several months ago. What was it like to work with Mike, both as the host, but also tapping into his executive producer smarts?
Well, that's the beauty of it. He is sort of that double and triple threat in the sense that he's not just there to, you know, like our host, you say, I need you to do this, and they go ahead and do it, and then they do their thing. Whereas Mike came back with like, well, what if we did this, or what if we tried that, or what if we approached it in this manner? And because of that, he approaches the show not as just a host, but he also approaches it as a producer. And that could be invaluable. Now, granted, a lot of times that's not a good thing because too many cooks in the kitchen is never a good thing. But with Mike, you know, between myself and Mike and Michael Cantor, who ran the show, who was also quite amazing, between the three of us, we could really sort of flush out what the show could be. So we were very lucky to have Mike Richards host the show for us. We really were.
At the same time, Jay, did you have to warn Mike that there's a challenge here? You have to hold back because you're going to see up close and personal this drama unfold among this group of contestants, especially when they have to agree how they're going to unequally divide the money. And you, as a game show host, might be tempted, like, should I interfere here? Should I say something? Should I, hey, folks, you better decide quick because your money's ticking away.
Well, the beauty of Mike is, remember, because he's got that producer's hat, he knows as a good producer, any good producer knows when you need to put that, you know, push the pedal down on the gas and when you need to ease up and when you just slam on the brakes. And because he's got that instinctive thinking in terms of doing a game show, you didn't have to really do that too much to him because he was always way ahead of us to begin with. And, he would think, I need to kind of press this. I need to back off of this. So, no, his instincts in terms of, you know, when to push and when to ease back, totally spot on. So, no, he was great.
Mm-hmm. The original series in England, I believe, had no studio audience. Does this one have one?
This one does, yes. And that's because, you know, the Brits, when they do theirs, the British do their shows very differently than the Americans. You know, theirs, when they would discuss and they would debate, and even when they got mad, it was always in that sort of British sensibility and sort of a pomp and circumstance to it all, whereas Americans, as we know, you know, we're a little crazy and we're very loud and we know everything about everything. And therefore, ours has a studio audience, which, truth be told, we put them back there because it added production value and it looked kind of good, and we had them kind of, you know, it's fun to watch them back there kind of cheer and whatnot, but they really got into it way more. They became sort of like the, you know, the extra man when you're watching a football game. Like, they would cheer and jeer and yell, and we were like, oh, my God, what do we have here? Like, this is turning into like a sporting event, as they would cheer on or boo or whatnot, and they really got invested in these contestants playing the game.
How were the contestants selected? How'd you find them?
We had Jackie Pittman, who was our casting producer, who's cast a lot of great things. She, you know, I'm always amazed how people do this. They go out and find these people, because the mantra was really this, that the marching orders were, Jackie, go find me people that when they are having discussions or when they are having debates, they have to get the last word in. They have to get their point across. They have to be the king of the hill or the queen of the hill no matter what, and go find these people. And you needed a mix of them because, you know, if you've got someone who's very outspoken and very loud and screaming all the time, truth be told, they're not very likable. You know, so you can't have all those types. You need people that are smart, because if they keep getting all the questions wrong, they'll end up with no money whatsoever, and that's not a lot of fun to watch either. You know, so she would find these buckets of people. She just go out and find them. Like, she just, you know, like all casting people, like me, I'd rather sit home all day long. But she wants to go out and meet and greet and go to these places and go walk around Los Angeles. And you just, but you talk to somebody after 30 seconds and you go, you're the right personality for a game show like this. And she brought in, you know, tons and tons and tons and tons of people and did a great job. Because, again, when you get that one person, that's only part of the equation. It's how are they going to gel and how they're going to work with and how they're going to mesh with the other three people that they're competing with. And that's a real trick, and that's a real skill. And then she totally killed it.
Because when these people come, they have never seen each other before. And I would understand that they're individually brought in. I mean, they don't have a chance to meet back. They don't meet backstage. When they're on that set, the cameras are rolling, they're introduced. That's the first time.
Yep, it's the first time. First time they've spoken to each other, first time they've heard each other's names and all this. Yeah, absolutely, yes. Yep.
We're talking about Divided. It's GSN's first original game show of this year, and it premiered this Thursday night, 2.5-hour episodes back-to-back at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, followed by the new season premiere of Idiot Test with that wonderful host, Ben Glebe, and those wonderful, unique puzzles that you have to solve on those touchscreens. That's coming back for a brand-new season. Ben was on our show, by the way, last year. You can catch that episode at blogtalkradio.com/televised or the podcast version of iTunes. J.B. Stock is the executive producer. He has won at least 4 or 5 Emmy Award nominations for his previous work, such as The Voice, The Apprentice, and a wonderful show for VH1 that ran a long time called Behind the Music. Also got revived sometime back as well. And Jay joined us live from LA this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum live from New York. Delighted you're with us, whether you are marking Martin Luther King Jr. Day or not. We appreciate you being aboard on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for Jay, get on the phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. There's a new TV network aimed at kids. In Espanol, it's called Kids Central, and we will have either Friday or Monday, Cadiza Networks, the people behind that new venture, one of two new services, Anglo-Latinos, that Comcast cable systems are launching before the end of the month. The other is Primo TV. They will either be this Friday or next Monday, which happens to be my birthday, by the way, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jay, what surprised you about taping these episodes, about either the way the episodes played out or the way the people played out?
I'll tell you what surprised me. A, we did 40 episodes, and all 40 are completely different, which was completely shocking. They were all very, very different in terms of drama and humor and the debates that people have and the discussions that people have. That was very surprising to me. The fact that people would let a clock run down to zero was astonishing to me. We saw, not always, but we saw a handful of times where there was a sizable amount of money in their bank. Because some people would rather be right and walk away with right in their own brain. They'd rather be right and walk home with nothing rather than to get something and to give in to somebody else. To me, it was completely crazy. Completely crazy. It's like, here, we want to write you a check. We want to give you money and go home with some money. And people would rather argue their point. They'd rather say it's black, not white. And they'll do it to the point that the clock runs down to zero. It was amazing. Like, at one point, we were like, we can't give this money away because these people are debating it so much. It's so important for people, especially nowadays, to be right. And right, of course, being a very subjective term.
No. Like, how do we get off the position and really agree unanimously as a team. You mentioned that with this version, you have four at the start and one gets voted off. And when you said that, Jay, I remember The Weakest Link.
Yep.
The show that I think could have run longer had it not been for two things. One was Ann Robinson. I thought it was a wonderful quiz host, but the dominatrix role, I thought, got really after a while, personal opinion.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that as time went on, when people were asked, when Ann asked the contestant, why did you vote this person off, the rationale got weirder and crazier and generally stupid. Like, I don't like the hair. It wasn't as if, you know, they did well, bad on the questions, whatever. It was like the craziest of reasons. I'm curious if that happened here. And if so, what did you think about that?
No, I mean, luckily, we're only in the first of what we hope are many, many seasons. We'd be so fortunate to go so many seasons that the excuses get weirder and weirder, in which case we would adjust the show. But for the episodes that we shot, no, for the most part, people would be eliminated or they would get rid of somebody for a variety of reasons, all of them pretty valid. Either people were speaking up too much, or they were too quiet, or they were too argumentative, or people were afraid of them in the end game. We have a mechanism in the show that the British version did not have or the Dutch version did not have, and that's called a takeover button. The takeover is when the arguing becomes to the point, like, you know, Simon, you're listening to this discussion and you know the answer. Like, you really know it, and everyone's going back and forth and back and forth, and you're watching the clock go down and you really can't take it anymore. You can hit that takeover button, and the clock will stop. And what this did was it created a real potential hero moment for anybody, because if you stop that clock, we lock in your answer for everyone's answer, whether we agreed with you or not. And if you are right, it's a real moment where you can thump your chest and go, I stopped the clock, I made us money, and I did good for the team. And of course, subsequently, if you use the takeover button and get it wrong, it could hurt you later when you're deciding, A, you want to stay in the game or pleading your case to stay in the game, or B, for the end game when you don't want the least amount of money. Now, that said, we saw people eliminated because other contestants did not like the way people used the takeover button. They used it too soon. They used it too late. They used it too many times. Like, they found this, the contestants found this other way to pinpoint why they should get rid of somebody. And not for some crazy reason. Like, sometimes you look and go, yeah, like, what are you using that button so early for? Like, leave it alone. And other people would jump on that, and people got kicked off the show for that reason as well. So nothing weird, nothing with hair, nothing with, like, you look weird, I don't want you on my team. It really came down to very strategic approaches as to why somebody was eliminated halfway through the show.
Did you also see along the way in taping, you know, people sort of rising above it, even if they knew that heart of hearts, they might have had all, you know, most of the answers correctly or took the lead, that they were able to, you know what, for the good of the team, I'm going to go in on this. Maybe I'll take the least amount of money. Maybe I'll take the mid prize, and that way we all win.
Yeah, no, we saw it. We saw some people say, you know what, I'd rather. We saw a few things. Once in a blue moon, you saw somebody go, I know I did the least. I'll take C, the least amount. We saw a few of those. A few times we saw people said, you know, I did the best here, and subjectively speaking, I would actually agree and say, yeah, they did the best. And they would say, but you know what? We got to stop the clock. I want to walk out here with something rather than nothing, so I'll take the middle amount, or I'll take the least amount. So we saw that. But we definitely saw people just sort of saying, either falling on their sword or being very truthful, which is so rare, that someone says, you know, I really didn't do that much. I'm lucky I even got to the end game to begin with, so I'll take the least amount. So we saw all different, like I said before, in 40 episodes, 40 different outcomes, 40 different rationales for it happening. And the things that you're mentioning are just several of the things that we had seen.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call before we go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, very well. Great to hear you. Happy New Year to you, by the way, and yours. And you're on the air with Jay Beanstock from Divided. Go ahead.
Hey, Jay. I've seen a little bit of the Divided show from England, and it seems like a show that a lot of times there's not a happy ending. And America is kind of known for making movies. In fact, when I went to film school, they said that's the big difference between Europe and American movies, is American movies usually have that tension. There's tension, and you need tension, but there's always that release. And in this show, it seems like sometimes there is no release. There's this tension, and then you know, all the money's gone. So I'm wondering, like, what is the redeeming like factor? Like, what's the hook of the show so that viewers do get hooked in?
Well, I think the hook of the show really is, and like for like many times in game shows, the winner is the person who got the most answers right, or the person who got it done in the least amount of time, or there's a variety of sorts of ways that someone wins a normal game show. Here, because it's partial, it's part social experiment, you look at this as sort of like a great big poker game. You know, and you watch the show and go, as you, the home viewer, there is so much play along because you're like, I think that person deserves this. So let's go list the play along things. The questions themselves, obviously. Did I, Mr. you know, home viewer, Mrs. home viewer, get the answer right or wrong, right? That's the first thing. Second thing is, did the contestants get it right or wrong? Then comes the vote out mechanism. Who would I, if I was playing there, if I was playing on the stage, who would I get rid of and why? And to see if then I'm right. And then, of course, the end game as to deciding who gets what. So when you say redeeming qualities, in terms of a viewer experience, there's a whole lot of moments that you play along with in terms of, you know, whether I'm right or wrong, and that's always a lot of fun. And then in terms of the end game, as you said, like when you're comparing American movies and European movies, there are some end games you go, God, really, did I really just watch that train wreck? Like these people couldn't get it together at all. And then there's other times when you watch it and you go, that was amazing. That was amazing. We saw one show, like one game when Mike goes, okay, decide A, B, and C and go. And literally nobody said a word, not one word, and everybody locked in a different letter. And they all looked at each other in a panic, and they all said, oh, my God, go. And they all slammed in the middle to agree with one another. And Mike said, that was amazing. Nobody said one word, and yet you all knew what you all deserved. And that's the other side of it. So this show has such a broad range of how things end in terms of suspense and humor and drama. Unlike a lot of shows where you watch and go, yeah, I pretty much know I'm going to, and you don't know what you're going to get here. You're like, you really don't. So there are certain shows that'll end, and you'll want to rip your hair out, and other shows you're going to stand up and cheer. And both of those things are okay because these are visceral reactions when you're watching a game show. Like, if I can't stand up and cheer or stand up and boo or get mad or get happy, then the show is not succeeding as well as it could. But Divided does exactly that. When the game is over, when the end game is done, I promise you, you'll be done and you'll go, oh, my God, that was crazy. That was like sitting on a roller coaster and watching the ups and the downs and the questions and people getting kicked out and this crazy end game and people are yelling and screaming. But yet, if they come to a resolution at the end, that's all good. That's great. Because sometimes you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need. Not to quote, you know, not to quote the Stones. But that's the truth. It's funny. So that's the beauty of the show, and that's the hook, I think, of the show, that you get so many different, you know, amalgamations of how the gameplay can end. And that really is quite a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, thanks for answering, and best wishes. And I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm really interested in this. So,
well, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for saying that. That's great.
Absolutely. Thank you, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. And again, Happy New Year to you and yours. Great to have you aboard. Rick Miller, our friend from Philadelphia, here on Smart Week Televised. Incidentally, before we leave the subject, while I was catching Divide, I also caught another show that's a very popular one in England called Tipping Point. Have you seen that, Jay?
No, I have not seen that.
Check it out. I think it's worth adapting by GSN or,
okay,
somebody in the United States. It's an amazing game show. And it's
okay,
a regular show. It's also one with celebrities. And it's really, it has the most interesting machine you've ever seen created for a game show with coins.
Cool.
It's really amazing. Tipping Point. anyway, Divided. Check this out. I think you're going to be very intrigued by this show. It's GSN's first original game of the year, and it premieres this Thursday night, 2.5 hours back-to-back, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, hosted by our very good friend from The Price is Right on this deal, Mike Richards. And it's followed by Idiot Taste, which begins its new season with 2.5 hour episodes, again, back-to-back at 10. Check your local list for where GSN is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to GSN.com. And in giving a shout-out to Mike, I want to remind you also that you can catch his day job as executive producer of The Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, weekdays from 10 a.m. to noon on CBS. Both stations play Let's Make a Deal at 10, followed by Price is Right at 11. Other stations play at other times. CBS.com can give you all the details. Jay Beanstock, executive producer of Divided, thanks again for joining us. And all the very best for the show. I have a hunch a lot of people are getting intrigued by this. And I wish you a very, very good long run. And let's have you back on another project you do, too. It's a pleasure.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you so much, Simon. Really appreciate you having me on. And best of luck with everything. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. By the way, give our best to both Mike Cantor and Mike Richards and the whole rest of your crew. And all the very best.
I definitely will. I'd be happy to.
You got it. Take care.
Bye, bud. See ya. Bye-bye.
JB Stock from Divided, joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, we will focus on female entrepreneurs and the new showcase they're getting on Centric, which premieres this past weekend, Queen Boss. Marcy Weitzler joins me from right here in Brooklyn, NYC, after we pull up the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are catching the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for daytime talk going in very unpredictable ways. Catch the Jay King Show every weekday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Best VTR available to you at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2017. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon, whether or not you are off from work. And we appreciate you being aboard. Another great guest coming your way this half hour. If you have a question or comment, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, and everyone gets 9092 in the room, as well as 869 and Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia. Well, guess what? Guess in a moment, first and fine words from our terrific sponsor, Audible.com. Are you a fan of Gilmore Girls? Well, there's a brand new book out. It's called 20th Best by Campbell, one of the co-stars of that series, which just got revived on Netflix late last year, Lauren Graham. And if you missed the book, you can hear it. That's right here, because it's now available in audiobook form, and you can get it by having a 30-day trial to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information, over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including wherever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like that and a one-month trial service, because Audible is from Amazon.com. Customer service is absolutely tremendous. So hear what you're missing, and hear some great, great stuff, like Talking As Fast As I Can, or any audiobook of your choice, audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. It's a great sound experience that's a gift that lasts all year long and beyond. Once again, audibletrial.com/televised. Later on this half hour, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. But right now, joining me from our home base in Brooklyn, NYC, co-executive producer of the new Centric series, Queen Boss, Marcy Weitzler. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Simon. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. It looks like your new series is off to a very good start. I've been catching up on the Twitter feed from Centric, and that's what a lot of people are talking about, is that first episode.
Yeah, we're very excited. You know, it aired on Saturday night for the first time on Centric and BET, and we'll be continuing on Centric. So we are very excited.
How long have you and your company, SWSI Media, thought about doing a series that showcases female entrepreneurs this way?
Well, we actually founded SWSI Media, which stands for Smart Women, Smart Ideas, with the premise of giving women entrepreneurs the exposure they need to get known and go big. So whether it's Queen Boss or other shows and initiatives we work on, it's all about that. So Queen Boss actually started a couple of years ago as a digital web series called Queen Bee. And we aired 4 digital episodes. We had partnered with Aura Media, did some distribution through Fussell and different channels on the web, and those episodes also featured female entrepreneurs. Tanya Lewis Lee, who was our host, had gotten some coverage by BET, so they got familiar with the show, and long story short, fast forward, they were excited about it, loved the format. We've always focused on women, you know, women entrepreneurs, but multicultural entrepreneurs can be anywhere and everywhere, not just in New York and Silicon Valley and L.A. And so what started as Queen Bee Online became Queen Boss on Centric, and it's bigger, better, and more, and giving lots of women the exposure they need to go big.
When you hear about the premise of the show, Marcy, obviously the comparison becomes Shark Tank. How is this like Shark Tank, and more importantly, how is it not?
So, you know, it is like Shark Tank in that there are entrepreneurs competing for a final prize, but there's also a component that's challenge-related. So they're pitching. There's also a challenge each episode, and the judges who are on our show, they are not investing their own money. There's a fund, and they are not only judging, they are offering mentorship, insights, and advice. So we really walked away, and I think the participating entrepreneurs, whether they won or didn't win, everybody walked away with some really great nuggets of wisdom and had really, you know, it's an hour-long episode, and I think the women who participated really developed throughout the show, whether or not they won or lost. They were gaining these amazing insights from these women who are just great businesswomen themselves.
Whether they win or lose, what's the most important nugget that they learn that can advance their careers?
Well, I think, you know, I don't think you can say there's one thing. So each woman, depending on what her stage of her business, what are her pros, what are, you know, her strengths, her weaknesses, I think it was really identifying what do you need to improve on to really show that you are boss. So, you know, I think on the episode that aired on Saturday night, there was a networking challenge really showing the women how important it is to make those connections, how important it is to say you present yourself. So I don't think there's one. I think there are many, many nuggets.
I want to welcome guests 1021 and 1026 into our chat room. We have a question or comment for our guest, Marcy Weissler, from the new Centric series, Queen Boss, which is on Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Give us a plug in the chat room at SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtopradio.com/televised, or give us that call, 646-652-2906. Marcy, how are these entrepreneurs selected?
So we go through an outreach, both, you know, not so much through typical casting, but we have a submission process where entrepreneurs submit information about themselves, their business, what it is, what stage. Then there's video, and then we do go through a casting because clearly someone's got they can have a great business idea. We want someone who's got a business that's already up and running, still small, you know, too big to be small, too small to be big, but not just an idea on a napkin, so they actually need to have product. We really focus, for the most part, on women who have product-oriented businesses, so food, fashion, fitness is broad categories. There are a few beyond, but not so much tech companies. We really want tangible because it, you know, in this type of show, it makes it much easier, I think, for both the judges and the audiences to relate. And then we go through a pretty extensive interview process.
We just had the CES event in Las Vegas where a lot of wearables and something like 600 startups showcase themselves, and the section is known as Eureka Park. Did you find some things in electronics or wearables, other consumer gear that popped up in terms of what was being showcased?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, Simon. Not so much in this round that we did for Queen Boss, but we actually, another show that we are in process with at SWSI Media is called Fashion Geeks. That's all about the women of wearable tech and a bunch of wearable tech startups. And actually, there's a Fashion Geeks presence at, not at CES, but this weekend, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, at the NRF, the retail, National Retail Show, that's at the Javits Center right now. So it wasn't a big focus for this season of Queen Boss. Doesn't mean it can't be in the future. But we are very much focused on that category, and there's so much interesting and exciting stuff happening there, whether it's, you know, wearables that are tracking your fitness, tracking your dog's fitness. You know, there's – and we're – that's a huge area and a big area for women.
We're speaking with Marcy Weisler. She is not only the co-executive producer of Centric's new series, Screen Boss, which on Saturday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Time started this past weekend. She also is one of the people involved in a company called SWSI Media that's producing television and other types of content aimed at promoting female entrepreneurs, of which this company is an entrepreneur venture. And Marcy joins me live from our home base here at Tomorrow Be Televised, wonderful Brooklyn, New York. Here on Blog Talk Radio. Glad to have you aboard on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2017. If you have a question or comment for Marcy, give us the ring, 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Or get into our chat room, SimonApple04, and guest 1041 just did. Friday on the program, we'll have one of the executive producers of a new series premiering on CBS right after the NFC Championship game this Sunday night. It's called Hunted. It's by a group of people who decide to get on the run and try to avoid being captured by some people who are well-schooled in the capturing. Hunted premieres, I said, after the NFC champion, the AFC Championship game, excuse me, on CBS on Sunday night. And we will have one of the executive producers on this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And coming up, by the way, here in the New York area, check out my Tomorrow We Televise segment on BK Live, the daily noon variety talk show. But all things Brooklyn and beyond, we'll have the producer of a new series called Tough Love that's trying to make the transition from web to television. That's the folks from Tough Love. They're joining me live from noon to 1 o'clock right here locally on Brick TV's BK Live. If you're in Brooklyn, you can catch it on Charter Spectrum, Cablevision System on RCN, Manhattan on Cablevision System on Charter Spectrum, and Rapid New York on Verizon Fios TV. And we're also available a few days later as a segment on YouTube.com/BrickTV. Marcy, how did you pick Tracy Edmonds as the host as well as pick the contestant judges?
How did we get Tracy? I'm sorry, you faded out there for a minute, Simon.
No problem.
So, Tracy, you know, we had full-on casting for our hosts and our judges. So, Tracy, you know, we really targeted women who not only had a presence on TV and, you know, great style, but also a lot of substance. And Tracy, as well as our judges, Lauren Lake and Vanessa Simmons, they are entrepreneurs and movers and shakers in their own right. So we wanted people who understood what the entrepreneurs were going through. And so I think that is what makes the show so rich. So we've got, Tracy is an amazing host, and she really is involved in the conversation with the entrepreneurs, as are Lauren and Vanessa. And then each week we also have a guest judge, and all of these women, some of them you've seen before on TV, in different shows. We've got Candy Burris from The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Carla Hall. Then we've also got some amazing women entrepreneurs who are not necessarily TV personalities or celebs, but we've got the founder, Lisa Price, the founder of Carol's Daughter, a woman named Rakia Reynolds, who has her own media and PR agency, does a lot of work with the Williams sisters, among others. So we really went out there to get people who could bring that mentorship, a little bit of tough love, but really love the entrepreneurs and give them what they need to take away from the show to take their business to the next level.
Mm-hmm. What challenge of the ones you featured on the program so far in the episodes you've taped, what gave the entrepreneurs the biggest eye-opener? The one that, like, whoa, baby, I better really take this side of my business very seriously?
I think one of the themes that ran through, we had some, you know, the entrepreneurs in all episodes pitch our judges. There's also some pitching of investors. And I think making sure you know your numbers, backwards, forwards, and upside down in a mirror, and how important you know, the ins and outs of running your business, because it is your business, are just as important as the product. And as the judges say, they were looking for not only the product but the passion. And yeah, so, but that has to be, you can't just have the passion about it. You got to have the product, and you got to know how to run your business, and you got to know, how do you make margin out of this? How do you differentiate yourself? And are you set up so you're not just going to stay where you're at selling, you know, a few units of this or a few units of that? How do you become that next big brand?
Mm-hmm. How big a horizon does your company have when it comes to television? You've got this program. You're working on another one, Fashion Geeks. How big of a TV business do you want your production company to have?
You know, I think the sky's the limit. As I said, we think big. How do you get known and go big? My partners and I all come out of digital businesses, a lot of startups and digital media, but still see the very much the power of what exposure on TV can do. So we're big believers in cross-platform. And, you know, we want our programming and all our initiatives to reach a very broad audience, not only in the U.S., but also internationally. And you take something like Queen Boss, and we've had inquiries from many different corners across the globe, even after we just did the digital series, just because women entrepreneurs are everywhere. And this is a show that's very empowering. And so I think for us as SWSI, we see TV as being a major component of it, and it is going to go long and broad across that, as well as digital and other channels.
We're spending time today with Marcy Weissler. She is the co-executive producer of Queen Boss. It's the new series on Centric about female entrepreneurs of color. You can catch that series Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on the channel. It's the sister channel, by the way, of BET that's devoted to African-American women. And Marcy joins us live from Brooklyn, New York this half hour here on Tamavi Televised. Simon Apple family with you live from the Big Apple. Happy to have you aboard. 41 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Marcy, get it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name is welcome guest 106. Into the room. Do you see your company focusing pretty much on scripted television and try to franchise it overseas, or do you see maybe a move into scripted TV given the hot area it is?
You know what? It's a really interesting question, and we really came at it much more from an unscripted perspective, especially since we launched this business with a mission of giving women entrepreneurs the exposure they need to go big, expanded that to focus more broadly on women in business. And we're actually evaluating and looking at a few opportunities to kind of broaden those themes and take them to potential scripted channels. You know, we're not there yet, but I think you have a point. There is so much good scripted stuff out there right now, and some of it is based, you know, some of the exciting ones that I've seen, you know, are based on true stories, taking a little bit of creative license, but really blowing it out. And I think that's the type of stuff that's very interesting.
Fashion Geeks, the other show you mentioned, when is that going to be premiering?
We don't have a timeline yet. We're still, you know, in the early stages of that, but working with a lot of the entrepreneurs in wearable tech, but probably towards the second half of the year.
We are doing this live on Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2017, and one of the things that we focus on, something Dr. King focused on all of his life, was that how do we expand diversity? How do we expand civil rights? How do we expand the opportunities for women and women of color and people of color? In the world of television, given what your organization has done so far, what's your thoughts about how do we expand the opportunities for women, for people of color in television? We know that because of the Oscars, we've seen a variety of organizations pop up like We for She, Project Her, Presenting Women, the Alice Institute, Women in Film has a project with the Blacklist.
all trying to expand the role of women, particularly women of color, in television, writing, producing, directing, owning their own television programming. I know there's no one silver bullet, and Dr. King, I believe, did not believe in that either. There's a lot of things you have to do. And we certainly are a lot stronger this year in diversity and inclusion on television than we were a year ago. What do you think is the most important thing that's yet to be done or should be done?
Oh, I think there's got to be more and more inclusion. And, you know, my partners and I couldn't have been more thrilled that Queen Boss ended up on Centric through BET Networks, because Black women are the fastest growing subset of women entrepreneurs today. So I think, you know, for us, it is about casting diversely, whether we're doing a show with Centric and having the representation both on the screen and behind the camera, and we worked with a great team from BET Networks on this, to making sure whatever new project we do really represent the diversity. So you take Fashion Geeks, you know, the diversity of the women who are starting or in these businesses, whether they are Black, brown, white, or any other color or creed. So we really do focus on making sure there's diversity there. I mean, I think industry as a whole, to get people thinking that way, and, you know, particularly not everyone who I'm working with needs to look like or think like me. And it brings a much richer end product.
One other point. Before the end of the month, BET is launching a brand new series. It's called The Quad. It's the first scripted drama series dealing with life at a historically Black college. And the lead is the wonderful actress Aniki Nani Rose. By the way, we'll be doing phone interviews a week from today. We're going to try, incidentally, to get her and or the producers of the show on this program as early as next week. Once again, The Quad premieres before the end of the month on BET. It should be a really amazing program. And given Aniki's talent, they may have found the right person to lead that series. As for Centric, you can catch Queen Boss this coming Saturday night, episode 2. That's Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local where Centric is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, you can go to www.centrictv.com. www.centrictv.com. And for more details about Marcy's company and what they're up to in TV and other media, go to www.swsimedia.com. www.swsimedia.com. Marcy White is the co-executive Queen Boss and co-founder of SWSI Media. Thank you again for spending your holiday time with us. We appreciate it. Good luck with Queen Boss. I have a feeling it's going to have a great, great long run on Centric, and we'd love to have you and your colleagues back to talk about other TV projects you've got in the works.
Thank you so much, Simon. It's really been a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Same here, Marcy. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Marcy Weissler of Queen Boss joining us live from our home base, Brooklyn, New York. And now before we go, our classic trivia question of the week, same as last week. We're still looking for our first winner of the year. And if you're first with the correct answer to the question, you can win the wonderful book, Britcom's FAQ, published by Applause. The question deals with the original version of One Day at a Time, whose new version on Netflix is doing incredible in the last 2 weeks. Here's the question. On the original One Day at a Time, name Anne Romano's original boyfriend. Name Anne Romano's original boyfriend on the first 2 seasons of One Day at a Time. And we will accept either the character's name or the actor's name. Actor or character's name will take you to one. If you get it, you win Britcom's FAQ published by Applause. How do you enter? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. You're first with the correct answer. Before Friday afternoon, you will win that wonderful book, Britcom's FAQ, talking about the wonderful world of past and current British sitcoms, including some that have big influence on U.S. sitcoms, like All in the Family and Sanford and Son. If you just missed the question, don't worry. I will repeat it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and my own Twitter hashtag, UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. You must be in the wind, so play. And all the very best. Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, Hunted, the brand-new CBS series premiering after the AFC Championship game Sunday night. We'll have one or more of the executive producers with us. And either on Friday or on Monday's episode, we'll have the people behind the brand-new network Kids Central premiering this month on Comcast cable systems and other cable systems around the country. One of two that will be premiering through Comcast, the other, Primo TV. All part of the Comcast deal made a number of years ago to acquire NBC Universal. And many more wonderful people and subjects coming your way in the weeks ahead right here on Marvel Televised. So if you're tuning in for the first time, make us a regular habit. We're on Mondays and Fridays, other days possible too, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you want to check out recent episodes of our show, we make it so easy. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. While you're ready, check out the podcast version, two ways to catch it, iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you have Apple TV, you can watch and hear the program. Either way, you can download it to your smartphone or tablet, take us on the go, share it with others. We appreciate the love. And if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or purchase it online. I went to the Apple store over the weekend at the brand new Westfield Esplanade. That's right near the new Pat World Trade Center subway station. The place is gorgeous, and the store is gorgeous as well. So, remember, you can catch us at blogtalkradio.com/televised podcast version on iTunes, and we love hearing from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going, especially with diversity, given this is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday? We'd like to hear, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. It also gets you involved in our regular feature show to know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention and you love it? We want to hear. Let us know. We'll spotlight it, and we'll give you the credit for it. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook, and definitely follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. UBCSimonTWBT. However you communicate, it's appreciated, because as always, what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow's Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Once again, if you want a free trial and free order book for the service, it's audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. But Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And while you're at it, if you haven't done so already, please take time to honor the man this day is named after. It's his birthday, and his legacy lives on in all of us to practice diversity, inclusion, and civil rights for all. No matter where you are, have a wonderful rest of your week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Be safe and be great out there. It's appreciated. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.